Hey, and welcome into the Big Ten Huddle. I'm your host, JR, and it is 10 a.m. It's not our normal time where we're going to go live, but we are going live here this morning because we're trying to do a power rankings episode for you for basketball. Me and Kent, casual Big Ten, not factual Big Ten. That was wrong last time. But casual Big Ten, we're going to be doing a power rankings basketball episode for you. Kent, how you feeling this morning? Is it better than the evenings at 9 o'clock at night?
I think so. I'm not sure. I mean, we'll find out if people like the morning ones better or not. But like, I think my mind is a little bit more clear. I felt less rushed than I do like during the Saturday night, like football ones. Like, I feel like we try to throw those power rankings together and I miss a lot of things. With this one, I was able to like actually sit down and think about it a little bit more, but that doesn't mean that anyone's going to like it any better than my football one. So we'll see how this goes. I'm excited, though, man. Basketball's back. Super exciting.
Yeah, man. We finally been getting some big games. We got a ton of big games this weekend. That was why I finally felt like it was a good idea to finally do a power rankings episode. Was, you know, we saw Indiana take down South Carolina, which that's not a huge team, but it is a game that's fun to talk about. Michigan State face Kansas. Purdue gets the huge win over Alabama. Alabama, they're still, you know, in a coma with football down there right now, so they don't really care. But Big Ten country cares, and when the Purdue football team is playing the way they're playing, the Purdue basketball fans care for sure.
Yeah, that game was awesome. Like, being able to beat Alabama, and for Purdue fans, like, I felt so happy for Purdue fans because of that. Like, you know, like, they probably were feeling a little bit down, like you said, because of football. So if I was a Purdue fan and I was going into that game, I'd be like, man, here we go again. Like, we're probably going to lose this game. Alabama's really good. You know, I saw Russ, he tweeted about it, and it's crazy like how closely he predicted what was going to happen in that game. He was like spot on with the Mark Sears and Braden Smith stuff, and basically came to fruition. And I was like, man, Russ really knows ball when it came to this Alabama one. But like, good for them, man. That's like, they have to feel good about that.
Yeah, I'm going to have Russ on the show soon so he can gloat a little bit about his Boilermakers. Well, that's where it starts at the top for both of us. Now, I was thinking maybe things wouldn't be exactly the same as they are in football, right? Football now, it's been kind of the same for us at the top for the most part. You've had Indiana number one in football, and I've had Oregon number one. But for the most part, it's all the same teams. We have the top, what, four teams here? Exactly the same. We have Purdue, Wisconsin, Indiana, Illinois. It's at number five when things start to get a little bit different. I have Rutgers fifth. You have them sixth. You have Michigan State fifth. I have them ninth. We both have Ohio State kind of up there as well. I have them seventh. You have them ninth. And then you have Maryland seventh. I have Maryland all the way down at 12th. So I'm just going to give you a chance to kind of talk through your rankings like we do on the football show, and then I'll take a chance to talk through mine.
All right, cool. Well, let's start by saying, like, with the comparison between yours and ours, like, I always think the top is the most important. Like, if we're getting the top ones right, I feel like we're kind of on the same page. And I think it's going to be like this with basketball a lot this year, where it's even worse than football as far as how murky it is, like, in the middle. Like we start at number five basically throughout the rest of it, almost, and we don't have a lot of similarities. But I'll run through mine real quick. Obviously, Purdue, I put number one with that big win over Alabama that we just talked about. I actually debated. I wanted to figure out, like, in my own head as I was going through this, like, how much stock am I putting into wins versus kind of what I do with the football thing, like who I think would win on a neutral floor, like if they played tonight. And, you know, Wisconsin's win, technically a higher ranked team, a better win, right? So I was like, do I put Wisconsin number one because they have the best win so far? Or do I say I still think Purdue's a better team than Wisconsin? So that's ultimately where I landed on the difference between Wisconsin and Purdue. But like, for me, at this early in the year, splitting hairs with one and two, Indiana, I still think has the best overall roster, the most talented roster. They haven't done anything that's really scared me. I know they had one bad first half and made a lot of people nervous on Twitter. I think they ended up winning that game by like 25 points or something crazy. I don't remember. Illinois, again, haven't done anything to scare me. Let's talk about Michigan State at five.
Wait, you just said you're not scared by Illinois?
nothing they've done has scared me to think that they're going to be bad. I meant
okay. Bad. I was like, I'm terrified to play Illinois personally.
Oh yeah, yeah, curious. Yeah. Like if you're an opponent facing them, yeah, you should definitely be scared. They're very good.
They could hang 200 on me. I mean, at this point, I'm like, don't let that offense go at me. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing scares me about them like being bad this year is what I meant to say. I'm sorry about that. All right.
No, go ahead.
Michigan State, the Kansas loss. Like I don't put a ton of stock into that because Kansas is good. I know it was a home game for them, and maybe that should have been a factor, but again, really good team that they lost to. And I think that they're going to be, I don't think it's going to be like last season for Michigan State. I think they're going to be pretty good. I'll run through the rest a little bit faster. Rutgers. I have Maryland at number 7, Oregon at number 8, Ohio State at 9, Iowa. I don't really tough team to figure out. I put them at 10. I think that some of the teams, the next one I'm going to talk about, Michigan, have an opportunity to move up. We just have to see what they're going to do against better competition, especially once like Big Ten play starts. So I predict that Michigan will be higher than 11 when all is said and done. And definitely UCLA, I have them moving up too, but I have them all the way down at 12. Penn State was the hardest one for me, honestly, like because they've scored so much. They've been so efficient offensively that it was like, man, do I really put them up? But ultimately I landed on like, I just don't think their roster is as talented as the teams that I have in front of them. So like if I was doing that prediction of who would win on a neutral court, I that's where I would have them placed is at 13. Nebraska lost to St. Mary's, so I had to drop them down there at 14. My Northwestern Wildcats all the way down at 15. It hurt me to do that. It really did because as everyone knows, I think Chris Collins is the best coach in the conference. I expect them to be higher once Barnheiser is back, which I'm hearing will be done on Tuesday. So I'm very excited about that. Friend of the program, Brooks Barnheiser. Minnesota all the way down at 16. They're interesting because of Dawson Garcia, and that's pretty much it at this point. He's got a chance to be player of the year, honestly. Like he's gonna have to do everything for them, and it's so far he has. But with a loss early on, I put them all the way down at 16. USC, I want to talk about them in depth, so I'll just skip it for right now. And then Washington is obviously the worst team in the conference, so I have them at 18.
Yeah, Washington, I'm going to do the thing where I go backward like you do. So,
okay.
Let me first say hi to everybody in the chat.
Yeah.
We have John here. He says, good morning, guys. I was so wrong about Arizona. Dude, you and me both were, John. I thought I knew the Kohl Center would be a factor. I didn't realize it would be that much, that Arizona just would completely wet their pants, which is exactly what happened. No discredit to Wisconsin. Wisconsin played a really good game and won that game, but like, the fans really brought it in that one, and I have to give a lot of credit to the Kohl Center and everything they did. Sean is here. He says, Purdue's not going undefeated. Nobody's going undefeated this year in college basketball. There's too much parity. There's too much going on. They're not even going undefeated in the Big Ten. So,
no, I don't think anyone will.
Who knows? But, yeah, no, I agree. Philip is asking, Kent, would Chris Collins, what would he say to your power rankings, Chris Collins?
He'd be devastated, but I think that, you know, Chris Collins is the type of guy that would take this and use it as motivation,
you know?
So I think it would be a good thing overall for Northwestern if Chris Collins saw this. I think he'd use it and it would make him work even harder this week at practice.
He would probably thank you for it. Be like, oh, thank you, Kent. You're giving me motivation, bulletin board material for my team.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's what he would do.
Yeah, that's definitely what he'd do. John is happy with the lineups that Mike Woodson put out there. I agree. To me, I didn't think South Carolina was that great of a team. I said that in the recap, but I was just more impressed with the backcourt play and the lineups that that Mike Woodson was putting out there and working with. LFG, like number one. Hey, everybody, like the video. We appreciate it. LFG, always coming in with the likes. We appreciate that. Seth Phillips says South Carolina is really bad. Matt, I need a link to Kent's Big Ten Discord. I have it right now. I am posting it. And yes, if you would like to join Kent's Big Ten Discord, I just posted it there in the chat on the main channel. So if you're on the basketball channel, go over to the main channel and see the chat there. Man, you guys are so much commenting. I can't keep up. We'll do one more. Dylan, get a job, you two. 10 a.m. streams. Dylan, aren't you at your job right now? How are you watching? Aren't you like supposed to be watching children?
He's got kids in the class. He's got it up on the smart board right now. Like, hey, kids, watch these idiots talk about basketball.
Time to learn some ball, kids. Let's get it up on the screen here. Here's the power rankings of the Big Ten. No, I actually am at my job right now. I just got to my job a little bit earlier today, so that way I could take 30, 40 minutes to do a power rankings live stream. So that's how I work things out. My job is pretty flexible. And then Kent watches dogs. So
yeah. Yeah, I actually don't have dogs today for the first time in November. This is the first day I haven't had an extra dog at my house. So, like, this worked out pretty good for me. And also, don't tell me what to do, DK. I'll do what I want, okay? How about that?
He's got the third graders doing Thanksgiving activities.
Oh my God, he actually is at work watching right now. Dude, come on, man. How's he hearing it, though? Like, he should not be listening to us right now. Like,
he's like the McDonald's workers where they have one AirPod in, and it's like the he has his head turned so the kids can't see he has the one AirPod in, you know?
Come on, man.
All right, so my power rankings, yes, I have Washington at 18 as well. USC, to me, it was a battle for who was last, but Washington not being able to put away any bad teams, at least USC has beaten bad teams convincingly, so... I put USC, or more convincingly, I don't know, convincingly, but more convincingly.
I was going to say, I don't think so. Well, I don't think that they have. We can come back to them because I really do want to talk about USC, though.
We will. For me, Northwestern at 16, I tell people this all the time. When it comes to power rankings, they're not predictive. They're what is going on right now. I think Northwestern will finish higher than 16, but no Brooks Barnheiser and everything that's going on there. That's bringing them down. Minnesota, I felt like the loss at North Texas wasn't all that bad, so I had them a little bit higher, but still, like, you lost to North Texas. It's not great. And then Nebraska lost last night to St. Mary's. I mean, St. Mary's is still a good team, right? I mean, this is a team that competes with Gonzaga every single year for whatever that conference is, the West Coast Conference, I think it is, WCC. So they should be probably be another good team. And then UCLA, I didn't like that loss to New Mexico. New Mexico might be something this year, but we'll see. They're still a Mountain West team, which the Mountain West has been a better conference. And then Maryland, Phillip gets me. Willard, I just can't put him any higher than that. I know they competed with Marquette, but it was also at home, so. And then Michigan at 11, really didn't like that Wake Forest loss. Oregon at 10, you went to overtime with Portland. That's essentially a loss in my mind. I can't really say much more than that. Michigan State, the loss to Kansas, and then I don't know. Like, I was struggling with Michigan State. I felt like I should have had them higher, but, like, I also didn't want to give them credit for, like, a loss. So that one's tough for me. Penn State, they're undefeated. They've been blowing teams out, like scoring 100-plus in a couple games so far this season. So I like that so far. They have Ace Bailey back. Ohio State, although they lost to Texas A&M, they did beat Texas. So I feel like I have to give them credit for that. But I still put Iowa over them because Iowa's undefeated, and I feel like they have a possible Big Ten Player of the Year candidate on their team. And Owen Freeman is good, really good. And so when you have those two combined, it's like, you know, maybe you don't have the best resume in the world, but I still feel like you have those really good players. And then same thing with Rutgers. Maybe not the best resume in the world, but you have Dylan Harper, Ace Bailey, Illinois, similar thing. Not the best wins in the world, but you have KJ on that team. Just a lot of good stuff. Indiana looked really good against South Carolina. And then obviously Wisconsin, Purdue, biggest wins in the conference so far. And they're both undefeated. So that's my thought process there. Kent, where do you want to start the discussion of kind of going back and forth on teams? Which, do you want to start with USC, or where do you want to start?
Yeah, let's talk about them first, because it's weird. I actually have probably watched them the most because I find them so intriguing, like with the roster being so brand new from what it even was last year. Not that I was really keeping tabs on them last year, but here's my thing about USC. I think that they, when they start conference play, they're going to have no problem being able to score because they have some really athletic guys. They have Desmond Claude. They have Terrence Williams from Michigan last year, who he's actually playing much better for them than he ever did for Michigan, I think, so far, especially last night. He really did. But the problem that I have with them is that
they're better coach than Howard. So,
well, yeah, that's also true. Yeah, that helps quite a bit. They are horrendous defensively. They're 17th out of 18 in the conference in points allowed per 100 possessions, and that's the only team that's behind them right now is Purdue, who played Alabama, and USC did not play Alabama. They played UT Arlington last week, and UT Arlington gave them everything that USC could handle. Dash, they actually, if you go back and watch it, they probably should have won that game. They were going bucket for bucket with USC throughout. They gave up 95 points to them. That's ridiculous. That's out of control. That's a UT Arlington team that lost to Louisiana Tech. Like, that's not okay for a Big Ten team to be in a game with them. They were also one shot away, a wide open elbow jumper against Idaho State that would have gave Idaho State the lead with less than a minute to play. So they're in games and having to just barely scrape by against these teams that I don't think are very good at all. And I know for a fact Idaho State's not good because I watched the whole game. They're just not good. USC's just missing every assignment defensively. There's no want to. There's a home environment that's just not very good where they're playing right now. Like, there's not fans there. It's a really low energy building. And the only reason that they've won these games is because, like I said, they're so strong offensively. They're so athletic. St. Thomas like bailed them out of the Idaho State game, and they're just not good. I just feel like it's a team that really needs to find an identity defensively. And that needs to be their focus like the next few weeks, because they're not going to be playing these cupcake games anymore where they can just scrape by. Like, everybody in this conference can score. You have to be able to get stops, and USC hasn't been able to do it. That's why I put them so low.
Yeah, USC loses last night to Cal, and that was not a great loss for them, especially considering it was at home, correct? I watched that game.
Yeah, it was. I watched that game last night, too. Again,
I watched so many games at this point, I forget who's home and who's away.
And that's not a good team either.
No, they're not. I mean,
I'm talking about Cal right now. They did nothing that was like, oh my God, this is a really good basketball team. No wonder they're losing to them. No, it's just USC is not very good right now. They, like I said, really have to figure some stuff out to get some stops, because they can't get stops right now at all.
Yeah. USC is by far the worst in the Big Ten in defense. Their defensive rating is a 101.1. If you want any indication of how bad that is, Iowa's is a 99.2. So they are nearly 2-point difference in defensive rating right now, which, if you know anything about KenPom defensive rating, the best in the Big Ten is UCLA with 91. So like a 1 or 2 point difference is, you know, not substantial, but a good amount. And when you're a good amount worse on defense than Iowa is, like, yikes. We all have seen this Iowa team not be very good defensively. Sunny is here. Sunny, good morning. Thanks for being here. Appreciate you.
I got a question for Sunny real quick, if he could respond in the chat. How'd that Bears game go yesterday?
Ouch. We will leave it at that. We'll let Sunny respond if he wants to. Power ranking the Bears losses now after we'll do an episode with that with Sunny. So for me, I'm right there with you. It's not been impressive from USC. You have got to have some form of defense. You did hold Cal to 71, but again, Cal is not a good basketball team. So you're letting UT Arlington score 95 on you. You're allowing Idaho State to have the opportunity to beat you in those games. Honestly, you could rank USC 18th, and I wouldn't argue with you too much.
I agree.
All right, where do you want to go next, Kent? What's another team you want to talk about?
I think Michigan State is like one that we have the biggest difference with. And
okay.
Like, I kind of already like touched on this a little bit. Like, I just don't feel like they're as bad as they played last year. I think that they're going to be better this year. I don't have a lot of stats to support that other than just like what I have seen on the screen. And I did give them credit for a loss. Like, I thought that they were in the game, like, especially in the first half against Kansas, they played really bad in the second half. They can't shoot. That's their problem. And shooting is something that I think can be figured out a little bit more throughout the season, more than defense, because like defense is like the thing, like when I'm comparing them in USC and I'm saying like USC's defense is bad, right? I don't know if they're going to be able to figure that out. That's something you should already have figured out to start the season. That's the easiest thing to fix, right? Mm-hmm. Defense is. With shooting, I think it takes a little bit longer. So I could see Michigan State shooting improving throughout the year. And if it does, They're right in that game with Kansas because they shot horrendously in the second half. So I think that this is going to be a better Michigan State team. I think that they have stuff to prove this year more than probably anybody in the conference because of how bad they were last year in close games and in all their games, actually, you know, borderline not even making the tournament. So I'm excited about Michigan State. Like I said, probably gave them too much credit after taking a loss, but I think that they're going to be good. I think five is a decent spot for them, and I think that they could stay right around that number throughout the year if they keep playing well.
Yeah, I mean, I have higher expectations for Michigan State than what we've seen so far, and I'm not saying they've been bad or anything like that. I don't know if Kansas is actually the best team in college basketball from what I've seen this season. They're ranked number one, so you know, obviously they're going to be up there, but I feel like I've seen better from Auburn. I feel like I've seen better from Duke. I feel like, not Duke in that Kentucky game, but in other games, I feel like I've seen, you know, better from Kentucky than I have from Kansas so far this season. So for me, like, I don't know how much credit I can give them, but at the end of the day, they aren't ranked number one. My biggest concern right now with Michigan State is what in the world is happening with Xavier Booker. I mean, we talked about Frankie Fiddler a little bit, but he had 12 points last game. Like, I feel like he was pretty good against Bowling Green, and he's getting there, and I think he will get there. It's just kind of that transition to a new team. But, like, Xavier Booker has scored 14 points so far this season. He only has 11 rebounds on the season, and he has 5 turnovers. Like, I mean, that would be an okay stat line for, like, a game, right? Like, 14 points, 11 rebounds, 5 turnovers. Like, you wouldn't like that many turnovers. But we're talking about 4 games here, and it's not like he's playing super low minutes. Like, he's played 20 minutes twice. If I'm a Michigan State fan, I'm really concerned about what's going on with Xavier Booker.
Yeah, just I think that they have been, by the way. Like, if you follow a lot of Michigan State fans, they've been concerned about...
Right, I'm not saying they haven't been. I'm just saying, like...
Yeah,
that's a big concern. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's been their concern, like, throughout last year into the offseason and then starting this year. I think it's always been like how they're going to be able to score or get stops down low. And it looks like you look at him and, like, you're basically relying on, you need to be so much better because Book's not giving you anything. So, yeah, I think that's going to be their concern. I totally agree with you. And I think that, the fans have been on board with that already. So does that get better, though? I don't think so. I mean, they basically have to – here's the thing about Michigan State. They're second in the conference right now in offensive rebounding. When you go back to the teams that, like, have made deep runs in the tournament, it's always been the same story with Michigan State. It's like these guys go crash the boards. They're going to win the rebounding battle. They're going to go get offensive rebounds. Now, part of that is because they're missing a lot of shots. I think that the first place team was Washington. So, yeah, there's a lot more opportunities to get offensive rebounds. But the other part of it, though, is if you watch them, there's more energy on the screen. Like, it's like this team really has the want to, I think. So, like I said, I think they have a lot to prove. And I think that they're starting out the way that I would have liked to see them start out as a team that's going to compete for the higher end of the conference. And if they can maintain that, I think that they'll be right here the whole time.
Yeah, it's interesting. The numbers are not in love with Michigan State this season like they were last year. Michigan State is currently 41st in KenPom. They are 1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, last year they played such a strong schedule, though. Like, have they played any of those teams yet? Or are they even? I haven't looked at their full schedule, I'll be honest. Like, do they have those tough games coming up where that's going to improve their,
not really,
you know, rating, if you will?
Yeah, their KenPom? Not really. Their tough out of conference games are Kansas, Colorado, Oakland,
Samford. That's a tournament team last year.
Okay, Samford. Yeah,
I don't know if they're good this year or not. We'll see.
Good or not, but I mean, so you have some, like, mid-major teams that could possibly be good and have been good in the past, in Samford, Florida Atlantic, and Oakland. But, like, I mean, Oakland lost a lot of their star power.
But they're in a tournament doesn't... coming up too. Aren't they in Maui, or are they in?
Maybe it's that Colorado game that's in Maui. Yeah, I always forget the tournaments get me messed up.
Yeah, I know that it's tough to see when you're just, like, looking at the schedule. Right. It's tough to remember, like, where those teams are. I can't remember. Yeah, it is Maui.
They don't have any guaranteed, like, big games left on their schedule. Like, Kansas was a guaranteed big game, was going to test you. Michigan State doesn't have those guaranteed big games on their schedule right now. So we don't know what we're going to see from them. And this is the 11th team.
Well, okay, so I'm looking at the tournament bracket right now. So that is the Colorado game. So either way, whether they win or lose, they're going to either play Memphis or UConn in the second round.
Please let it not be UConn.
What's that?
Please let it not be UConn.
Well, that would be another big game for them, though.
I know, but they'll lose.
Yeah. And then the bottom of the bracket is Auburn, Iowa State, Dayton, and North Carolina. So, like, it's hard to predict which one of those teams they're going to play, but they'll at least have that Colorado game, which Colorado was pretty good last year, too. Again, I haven't watched them this year, but and then they'll have either Memphis or UConn in the second round. Like, regardless, that'll be a big name, at least, that's on their resume, like, that is a potential win. If it's Memphis, even, it's like, all right, well, they beat Memphis. You know, they beat Colorado, they beat Memphis, or they lost to Colorado, but they at least they beat Memphis. I don't know. Or they beat Colorado and then they had a really close game with UConn. That's respectable, kind of like the Kansas game. So I guess they do have some tougher games, I guess is what my point is with that tournament.
Yeah, no, they do. I mean, in your opinion, what is more impressive, like a close loss? When I say close, I mean like the Kansas loss. What, Kansas
yeah.
lost to Kansas by 8? Like say an 8-point loss to UConn or a 5-point win against Memphis. What's more impressive?
Oh man. I think I would have to, if I'm a fan, I want the win, right?
Yeah.
If I was an analyst, I would have to do more research on Memphis to see like how good they actually are.
Yeah.
But I think overall, like just sitting here right now, like off the cuff, I would say I'd rather have that win against Memphis because wins on the resume ultimately are going to look better in the long run. But again, I'm going to say this again. I don't think that it's going to be a bubble team this year for Michigan State. I think they're going to be really competitive in the conference and they're going to win a lot of games. I think they'll be solidly in the tournament before like March even starts.
Very possible. I mean, I'm in wait and see mode with this Michigan State team. I'm just going off purely what I've seen, and what I've seen is ninth team in power rankings, middle of the pack right now. They could go much higher or they could go much lower depending on what they do in the future. Memphis, by the way, beat Missouri 83-75 at home, and then they traveled to UNLV and beat them 80-74. So it looks like Memphis has a good start to the season so far, and we'll see. They play San Fran Thursday, San Francisco. So
Sanford's good. Sanford's like, I mean, yeah, they were I wish I would have texted him before the game started, but I think I've talked about this before, but I have a former player I used to coach who's on staff with Sanford right now. And he was giving me notes last year going into the Purdue game. And I didn't ask him, but I need to text him today because they're playing Michigan State tomorrow, I think. So I'll see how prepared Sanford is. I should have texted him. I'm going to text him right now. If we're on for 10 more minutes, he'll text me back.
Philip reminds us, Missouri is bad. Yes. Yeah, they are bad. And then Memphis does have Danger. So, you know, if you beat Dane Danger, that's impressive, right?
Yeah, that's true.
I love it. All right. So let's talk a little bit about Ohio State, because I think that they are a team that is going to be interesting to try and rank and think about. Ohio State wins the game against Texas to begin the season out in Vegas. Of course, Texas was missing one of their star players in Marks, but they did do a very good job of shooting the ball, obviously, and they showed some good depth in that one. Their front court decided to put 8 fouls together between the two of them and really struggled. And then they go to Texas A&M, and they continue to struggle with fouls. Now, I know Ohio State fans were complaining that, you know, the refs were ticky-tack and they were against them and everything. I mean, Wade Taylor fouled out in that game. Like, I understand Texas A&M shot, like, 43 throws, but, like, I don't think the refs were against you in that one. I just don't think Ohio State ever adjusted to the way the refs were calling the game, which was extremely ticky-tack. And so then you give up 40 free throws to Texas A&M, who is not the best free throw shooting team in the world, but they shot well enough to be able to beat Ohio State, and Ohio State couldn't make a 3-pointer to save their lives. So kind of up and down with Ohio State. So I can't argue with you having them at 9. But I do think the win against Texas does bump them up a little bit for me to where if I'm ranking like the teams with one loss, Ohio State is up there, probably at the top of the teams with one loss in the conference so far.
I think what I was doing here was I took the teams that had one loss and I basically did exactly what you just said. Like I said, all right, which loss was least bad. And I think Michigan State's, in my mind, was less bad than that Texas A&M loss. So that's why they were ahead. But I could argue either, like I said at the beginning, this is so early and like we don't know what some of the teams they played are going to be by the end of the year. So it was tough for me, but I tried to keep some of the undefeated teams a little bit higher, but maybe I should have gave Ohio State more credit for the Texas win is what I'm trying to get at right now. Maybe they should be up closer to like 7, like where you have them. That's probably more fair. I'll have to agree with you on Ohio State's ranking better than mine. So I can't really argue that at this point. Just like you said, you can't really argue with it being at 9. It's just like kind of a toss up, like the 5 through like even all the way down for me to 13 is just like who do you think is going to be the best team? So I kind of put Rutgers ahead of them. I think that Maryland's been playing really good, so I put them ahead of Ohio State. And Oregon's like a sleepy, like they could be really good team by the end of the year. So like that's going to be a fun matchup when they play. So I put them slightly ahead of them, but we're splitting hairs right there. It's like they're so close. It's like I could have put Ohio State as high as 5. Yeah. I could have put them as low as like 11 at this point, but we'll find out really shortly. I actually just had a really good idea. If you went through your rankings right now and you had to pick 3 teams that you think will be higher by the end of the year, who would you pick? Or we could do both, like the opposite, teams you think will be lower.
I think Michigan will be higher. I think UCLA will be higher. And I think Northwestern will be higher.
That's a good pick. I would definitely say for mine, UCLA is definitely going to be higher.
Yeah.
I think that, man, the Michigan one's tough. I'm trying to agree with you, but like, I think that,
I think Michigan just needs to gel more. I think that the playing 2 bigs for Michigan it's a really difficult transition to make, but I think they can make it. That's my differing opinion there. That's actually why I have Michigan ahead of Maryland, is because I do think the 2 bigs look can work for Michigan with Danny Wolfe and his style of play and what he can do. I don't think it can work for Maryland. I hate the idea of Julian Reese and Derek Queen playing together, but I don't think you have any other option. Like the way Kevin Willard set up this lineup, I don't think you have anything else you can do other than play them together. And so I think Maryland, unless they improve substantially, which maybe not, because they have Kevin Willard as their coach, it's going to be hard for them to make this lineup look better. Their backcourt is fine. I have no problems with their backcourt. It's just the way they're operating with their front court right now.
Yeah. I think it works for Michigan with Wolf and anybody, though. Like, I think he's playing really well. I thought, like, from what I've seen so far from Michigan, I don't know if I was just expecting more from Vlad just because of what he did at Florida Atlantic. And, like, he had such a great run. And, like, he was kind of the face of that. Him and I can't remember the guard's name right now, but
Jono Davis.
Yeah, Davis. Okay. So, and those two guys basically like carried those teams through the tournament, right?
Yeah.
I was expecting a lot more from him. He hasn't been great in my eyes so far. And I don't know if that's because like Wolf's been so good and he's kind of like, I don't really know my role on this team. I used to be the guy down low. And now I don't know when I'm supposed to attack, when I'm supposed to shoot, when I'm supposed to, step up and try to make a big defensive play. But if you look at it just like, all right, hey Vlad, just play your role. Like you're the second option down low, and you're supposed to go crash boards and get us rebounds defensively in possession to get blocks, and don't worry so much about scoring. I think that it will be a little bit better. But Wolf's looks so good that it's almost like the experiment is working just because of him. He could be out there with anybody though.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you want Wolf being your 5 man just because of the ability to handle the ball and some of the stuff he can do.
Oh, yeah.
I still think you need a 5 man down there. But the problem with Vlad is I think you need your 5 man in this lineup to be like a punisher, right? Like, if you give me, what's his name? Cokeburn from Illinois years ago. Like, if you give me Cokeburn on this lineup, dude, I am loving this Michigan team. If you got Kofi Cokeburn, I mean, there's a lot of teams. If you give me Kofi Cokeburn on their team, I love the lineup.
But that's true.
I said, like, really, this Michigan team, if you give me Kofi Cokeburn with Danny Wolf and the front court together, like, that is music to my ears. But unfortunately, Vlad is not playing that way. I mean, I don't think John is completely wrong here when he says Vlad looks soft on the court. Like,
That's kind of what I was trying to get at. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't argue with that. He's not playing physical ball down low, and he's not, getting as many paint points in the paint and stuff like that that I thought he would, and he's not offering you a threat on the outside as well. He's not made any three-pointers yet this season. He's not really passing. I don't think he's gotten a single assist so far this season, and he is kind of turning the ball over. His turnover rate right now is 32% on the year. Like,
well, Michigan in general, like the last game that I just watched them play, they were turning the ball over every other possession regardless of who had it. I can't believe they won their last game. I can't even remember who they were playing at this point, but who was it?
TCU.
Okay, yeah, the TCU game,
they
yeah.
won by defense. I mean,
right.
TCU could never get a good shot off. So, but yeah.
I think when we're talking about Vlad, though, soft is such like a mean word to me, especially when you're talking about basketball. He has kind of looked soft. But to me, I think a better way to describe it is like indecisive. Because like I said, he just doesn't really know what his role is right now.
That's actually a good way to put it. Yeah, I wouldn't say soft. Like I see what John is saying there. Like the general vibe of it looks that way. But I think if you watch the game and you dig a little bit deeper, it just doesn't look like he's confident out there on the court right now. And it doesn't look like he, like you said, knows his role. I think his role is pretty well defined, though. I don't know why he doesn't know his role. I think maybe he's not super confident in the role.
Well, maybe coach is pulling this clip right now and showing it to him. Like, look, these guys can see it. How come you can't see it, man?
We know Chris Collins watches.
Well, yeah, of course. He's in the chat right now. He's using Chris Collins is actually LFG. People just don't know it.
That's awesome.
I just pulled up the first name that I saw in the comments. Sorry.
I think Chris Collins and Dusty May could be pretty good friends. I think they would be pretty good friends.
Chris
Collins and Dusty May.
Yeah. But Chris Collins would be the guy, like, if they're going out to, like, the bar or something, he'd be the one, like, instigating the trouble. Like, Dusty May's too straight-laced. He'd be like, no, Chris, let's not do that. Chris would be like, come on, man.
Good guy, bad guy.
Yeah.
All right. That's a tangent we can't get off on a 40-minute episode. We'll spend
all right, but who do you think's going to be lower, though? Can we do that real quick, or are we running out of time?
No, that's fine. Lower, I think Wisconsin will be lower. I think that Iowa on mine, I don't know about Iowa. Penn State, I think, will be lower. And Oregon, I think, will be lower. What about you? I don't like Oregon. I really do not like Oregon. The only reason they are 10th right now is because they're undefeated. But in like JR's like record, they actually have a loss because they went to overtime with Portland.
Yeah. I think this will be a hot take. I think that Purdue will be lower on my rankings when the season's all said and done, because it can't be Purdue in the top spot for 3 years in a row. It's just not going to happen like that. And again, I know that they have won, they have a big win, so they deserve the top spot right now. They've shown that they have one of the better coaches in the conference, top three coach, I would call him, in the conference, and arguably the best point guard in the country on their team. But when conference play starts, this is not going to be a Purdue team that like just rolls in and you're automatically going to get a win like they did last year. So I think that it's going to get mucked up a little bit at the top, and there's going to be some teams like throughout the year that you're going to look at and be like, whoa, 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 is this the best team in the conference? Whereas the last couple of years, it really hasn't felt like that. It's always been like Purdue is the best team. Like they're the class of the conference right now. And I think that this year that'll change a little bit throughout the season.
I don't think it will change at Mackey. I think Mackey will remain kind of their, like, don't lose a game, maybe lose one game there type of thing. Like, I think they're going to be automatic from home. I do think that Purdue could drop, you know, 3-4 on the road, maybe more, just depending on the way things go and how teams game plan against them. But, yeah.
I just saw that comment.
Rough. I was like, is this a joke? But then realized it was basketball. Yeah, we do our best with the basketball court there.
I guess when I'm talking about Purdue, though, like, you know, in that Alabama game, a big part of that win was the minutes that CJ Cox came in, right?
Yeah. That's the biggest thing. If CJ Cox can be your four man and he can come off the bench and provide sparks like that, like, Purdue remains elite.
Yeah, but I agree.
You're asking him to do that all season long.
And I know that it did happen, so this is stupid to even, like, you know, be theoretical about. But, like, if that didn't happen and Alabama did win that game, neither one of us have Purdue number one, I don't think. I think we would both say that Wisconsin would be number one. And you might even put Purdue behind Indiana at this point if they lost that Alabama game, wouldn't you?
I would probably have them three. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd probably still have them above Illinois just because Illinois doesn't have a signature win yet. But, like, in my heart of hearts, I'd be like, I like Illinois better. But it's fun because Illinois gets to play at Alabama on Wednesday. So we'll get to see.
Ooh,
if Illinois
that
wins
is fun.
That game, I'm not going to take anything away from Alabama. I'm actually going to probably like that win better than I like the Purdue win over Alabama because it's at Alabama. But I'm not going to let the ranking of, you know, the lower ranking of Alabama losing to Purdue sway me there because it is so close between the two and you are playing at Alabama. If Illinois wins that one, I'm putting Illinois over Purdue in my power rankings. Easy.
I think I probably would consider it as well. I do want to go back to one thing we were talking about with Purdue real quick, though. I need to look up their schedule and find out when they play on Peacock because I cannot wait to tweet out that CJ Cox is on the cock. I'm just really excited about that.
Schedule the tweet for as soon as the game starts.
Yeah, as soon as the game starts. I thought about making a graphic where it's like, it doesn't really make sense that he would be doing this, but it's like Fletcher Cox watching CJ Cox on Peacock.
Yeah,
but it's like, why would Fletcher Cox be watching that? I need to think of something else to like work a couple more of those in there.
You need to get another cameo. You gotta get Fletcher Cox on cameo saying, "Oh yes. Yeah, watch out for CJ Cox." That would be hilarious. I don't think he would do it, but that would be hilarious. All right, really quick, let's couple more teams, and then we'll be done here. Do you want to touch on Indiana? Have you looked at Indiana's schedule?
Yes.
I think Indiana could be undefeated until January.
I agree. Now, are they in a tournament, though?
Are they a tournament team?
No, I'm saying, like, are they in one of these, like, early season tournaments that we're not seeing someone on the schedule that they could potentially draw?
Maybe that Louisville game.
But they're in Atlantis, John just said in the comments.
Okay. Thanks, John. Is that Louisville game?
Yeah, but who would they play next, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at. Because that could be a potential, like, I don't think they'll be undefeated until January type thing.
Yeah. The battle for
the people in the comments are on top of it this morning. Everyone knows everything instantly. All right, so Rudy just said, he's talking about Purdue.
They can look stuff up. We can't.
Yeah, they're looking stuff up faster. We're trying to talk too, guys. All right, give us a little credit here. Arizona and Gonzaga are in the battle for Atlantis as well, and Louisville. Okay, so those are the three. So they would play the winner of Arizona and Gonzaga. Is that how I'm taking that? These guys are all going to be like, they don't even know how the Battle of Atlantis works. Duh, that's how it works. I don't know.
Live podcasting when you can't find a bracket is so much fun.
So if they play Arizona, that's a potential for them to have a loss before January, right?
Yeah, I mean, if they play Arizona, that for sure is a potential for a loss. Yeah, I have it right here. So they would play the winner if they win, they would play the winner of West Virginia Gonzaga. If they lose, they would play the loser of West Virginia Gonzaga. Arizona is on the complete opposite end of the bracket for them. So they wouldn't face Arizona until they get to the championship or unless all of them lose.
Yeah, okay. So going back to your question, do I think they could be undefeated until January? Yeah, if they win the battle for Atlantis, then yeah, there's no other game that like scares me on their schedule.
Which I like them to win the battle for Atlantis. Their only other competition really in that one. I mean, Louisville, who knows? Maybe they come out and they're crazy good. I don't think they will be, but maybe they come out and they're crazy good. Their only other real competition is Gonzaga and Arizona.
Louisville has Chucky Hepburn, though, and he has a really good record against Indiana. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did know that.
So maybe that's a factor.
Did not consider it. John is saying Oklahoma and Providence there, too. I just think Indiana's better than Oklahoma and Providence, so I'm not really too concerned about them. Or at least they should be better. We'll see. I think they probably lose one at most in the battle for Atlantis, if they do lose one.
Yeah.
So going into January, a one-loss team at worst. It's pretty good.
It's pretty good, kind of, though. Like, the people that really dig into basketball, like, will look at their schedule and be like, is this team really good? And the funny thing is, like, it's going to be the same Indiana fans that have been sitting here trying to defend the football team who's undefeated right now with the strength of schedule. That's just going to be like, man, your whole school just doesn't play strong schedules. Like, you don't do it in basketball or football. So,
yeah, that would be hilarious if they're trying to defend the football strength of schedule so they can get into the playoffs, and then at the same time try to defend the basketball strength of schedule. So that
we're good at basketball too. I swear, we're still undefeated. Don't wins matter? It's gonna be the same arguments from them. Like,
that would be hilarious.
Which I've been making those arguments for them as well. So it's like, I'll be doing the same thing. Like, no, Indiana's good. They're still winning all these games. All they can do is play their schedule. That's all they can do. And they're blowing everybody out, by the way. It'll be the same argument. I'm just going to, like, retweet stuff that I did for football, like, and just put a basketball emoji on it.
This is a situation where I do kind of wish I had more, like, guests frequently. I really like having you and Zach on, obviously, but, like, some more frequent guests, so that way we could do a poll with the listeners and have them vote on, like, who is the biggest Indiana hater that's on the Big Ten Huddle and who loves Indiana the most on the Big Ten Huddle. I think they'd give you the spot for the love the most because you have them at the top of your power rankings.
I'd have to have it. I'd have to have that spot for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
And I've been a big Indiana basketball supporter for a few years now too. Like, I've been kind of all over them the past couple of years, especially when they had like when they had Hood Schifino and Jackson Davis. Like, I was all over Indiana. I used to love those teams.
Yeah.
Last year, not so much.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. All right, I think that's all we really need to get to in the power rankings here. This is a good little morning episode. We got 24 people watching right now. We appreciate everybody watching. Go ahead and like and subscribe. We appreciate that. If you are subscribed to the football channel, go on over to the basketball channel. The link's in the description. Actually, I'm going to go ahead and copy the link really fast and put it in there so that way none of you have an excuse to say, oh, I can't get to the link or whatever. Tough luck. There it is. You have to do it now. Kent, anything going on with Casual Big Ten you want to tell people about?
Not really. Just doing a lot of tweets, a lot of Twittering. I've been really aggressive on Twitter lately with some of the trolls. Late last night, I was coming at them pretty aggressively.
Somebody questioned your Northwestern fandom, so I guess.
Which is absolutely asinine on his part. Like, that's wild. But I also have the Discord. I know someone asked about that. So I'm going to do a new tweet for that today because I think the Discord links like expire after a week. And I think I tweeted the last one out, last Tuesday. So I'll probably do a fresh Discord tweet today. So if you're on Twitter, go check that out. Click on the link, try to get that discussion going throughout this week, especially with some big basketball games coming up. I had somebody in the Discord last week that was at the Northwestern game. So we got boots on the ground around the Big Ten in the Discord, so come check that out. And yeah, should be a fun week. I'm excited.
Can't wait. It's gonna be awesome. And I do see a lot of Rutgers chat in the chat.
We didn't touch on that. I was gonna say
too much to discuss with Rutgers. We apologize, but we will definitely here in the coming weeks. They're gonna kind of ramp up and play Notre Dame. I mean, there's a 3-game stretch there at the end of November at Notre Dame, at Alabama, at Houston. That is going to be insane. But we'll learn a lot more about Rutgers then. And don't worry.
Well, plus we had them at 5 and 6, which I think is pretty appropriate for them right now. So it's not like we had to like argue for or against it.
Yeah. It was just one of those teams we're agreeing on. We also didn't touch much on Illinois. We didn't touch much on Wisconsin. It's just those teams we agree on. We don't typically.
Or Washington. I know a lot of people wanted to hear about Washington today. Yeah. We didn't get into that. I'm sorry, people. We'll dig deeper into Washington next week for sure.
Here's my Washington analysis. You ready?
They're so bad. Did they win yesterday?
Barely, by like 5.
I couldn't stay awake for that one. I was like, I literally can't do this anymore with this team. I can't watch them any longer.
They beat UMass Lowell 74-69.
Yeah, I turned it on and I think they were losing when I turned it on, and I literally turned it right back off. I didn't watch one play. It was a Big Ten Plus game too, so it was like the weird like cameras, and it was like the commercial was just the video of the floor and no one would talk. And I was starting to fall asleep, and then the announcers would come back. Hey, we're back. And I was like, I was like, I can't do this.
Because you might be asleep. They're like, ah! Yeah. All right, last thing we'll comment on, and then we're getting out of here. Philip, Parker Fox would be upset with your Minnesota ranking, Ken.
I don't know if he would. I think that
he's using it as motivation as well.
I was just going to say, I think he's very much like, you know, I kind of draw myself to those type of basketball minds where they're influenced by, you know, they're motivated by my rankings, I would say. So, like, if I sent this over to Parker, first of all, he would definitely respond because he's my guy. But he would say, we got to get, I think his response would be, we got to get better. We just got to get better.
Yeah, and he'd probably put it on himself, right? He'd be like, it's on me. Like, I'm the leader of this team. I got to make it happen. Me and Dawson, like, we're going out for dinner tonight, and we're going to figure it out. And this team's going to come back, and you're going to regret the day you ever ranked Minnesota 16th in the Big Ten Power Rankings.
Yeah. Also, I don't think he would really care. He'd just be like, dude, stop DMing me. Leave me alone.
Yeah, that might happen too. Maybe Joe Kent, part-time motivational speaker. Dog.
For sure.
Dog, watcher by day, motivational speaker by night.
That's right.
Love it. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for watching. We appreciate it. We'll be back here again on Monday morning, 10 a.m. to give our power rankings once again. And we will be back here. Well, not we. I will be back with Zach Tuesday night to preview all the Big Ten games for the weekend. We're going to go in depth on that Ohio State-Indiana game for sure. And all the other games, we'll also go in depth on those. So check back here Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern time. And we'll see you then. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Have a good one.